After 32 years, I came out of the closet as a gay Christian pastor. Finally, on the outside of that suffocating prison, I'm looking around and I'm like, we can't stay here. It's not enough to become informed. We have to do something about the harm we're still witnessing within systems and spaces we've been loyal to for so long. It's time we become reformers. Hello and welcome to Confessions of a Reformer. I am your host, Mike Miyashiro. I want to talk to you about something in this episode that has taken some work to be able to articulate, and I don't think I'm done understanding everything I'm about to share, but this feels really important to the both coming out and deconstruction process. We all know that throwing the baby out with the bathwater is not awesome, something that we probably generally would like to not do. And when I came out and deconstructed, that drastically impacted my social, economic, and political ideals as well. Right? There was like ripple effects in multiple directions in my life that I did not anticipate. And so I want to just make this statement and then get into some of where this thought process went for me. When it comes to the human psyche, I don't believe that truth is the most important. I think meaning is actually more important to us. And meaning or lack thereof has more of an impact on us than even quote unquote truth. Because we are emotional, meaning-making creatures, right? Like, when you get rid of a belief, you don't just, like, get rid of an idea. You also get rid of the meaning that that belief held in your life, right? It informed the way you understood the world and yourself and other people and God and, like, some pretty important things. When we get rid of those beliefs, without replacing that old belief with a new one, we also leave that space of meaning empty as well, right? So we're not just getting rid of ideas that we don't agree with anymore. We're also like getting rid of meaning that used to shore us up and answer questions and hold spaces of security for us. When you jettison the idea, the belief that like maintained that meaning in your life, you also then lose the meaning. And so it's going to require a new belief in order to hold on to the meaning that probably still needs to belong in your life, right? Lacking meaning creates mental and emotional suffering. I have absolutely experienced this in my journey. So I'm not here to tell you this is how your journey has to go or that it is what happened, but this is what happened for me. And it has been work to realize and then like responsibly manage the impact of coming out and deconstructing and then, you know, the unraveling that came with all of that. So I want to talk about a very specific aspect of this. I want to make this pretty practical. So for example, the world I was raised in, I was in a capitalist, career-obsessed hustle culture. That's just kind of the things that were propped up to me as like ideal, important, successful, right? Like things you should strive for. And so I ended up investing a lot of energy and money into like learning productivity hacks, for example. I delved deep into the science and the benefits behind vision boards, affirmations, goal setting, high achievement strategies, right? Like scaling your income. And this went into business and entrepreneurship, but it also was heavily impacted by people's political views. And so I also surrounded myself with people who excelled in those areas, right? And they taught me that these concepts and these practices that have been around for a long time were necessary to self-actualization, right? And like building the life you want and pursuing your dreams and being successful and getting rich. And these were all things that I had been indoctrinated to accept and believe and uphold and chase after. And what's weird is because of the deconstruction stuff, right? And then like also how that's impacted my political and economic view, I threw away some things that I learned that were really impactful and like beneficial to me. But also threw away some things that have been harmful to me to not have anymore. Like some of those, that meaning and fulfillment went with it. And here's the deal. Like the things that they taught me, because of the socioeconomic world that we're in and the climate of America for me, like in the country that I'm in, these strategies and practices and hacks like worked really well for me. And I like applied myself and I was a really good student. And I ended up building myself a multiple six-figure income, right? Like, I was so proud of that. And it was like self-employment income. That was a big achievement. I was very proud. I was 29 when I, walked away from my full-time job. I threw a retirement party. And I was really proud of that. And to this day, I am still proud of that achievement. But there was also so much that I didn't understand and could not see back then that was laced throughout all of what I was celebrating and all of what I had accomplished that were problematic, you know? So I'm now, at 36, getting to process through what was that? What did that mean? What was valuable? What wasn't? I threw away a lot of it. And I'm like, oh, some of this shouldn't go away. And that's kind of the nuance and tension I want to navigate in this episode today. A big part of that whole process, and like as I look back on it, it still holds such a heavy emotional and like interpersonal pang of pain. Most, if not all, of the people that I looked up to and learned from and like surrounded myself with were right-wing conservative, like Republican Christians. And I didn't really think about how these lines fell and why, but it's just like par for the course. I just continued to like discover how deeply red my world was politically, right? And so as I deconstructed and came out and changed my beliefs about some really important stuff, that obviously led me more into a liberal, progressive, left-leaning space where I found some new people to look up to, new people to impact my thinking, help me understand the world differently, mostly out of survival to help understand myself, to learn how to advocate for me, witness my humanity, learn to love and accept and embrace who I've been this whole time, right? And so in that world, in the left-leaning, liberal, progressive, Democrat, like whatever kind of labels you want to put on this, in this side of the world, the values tend to be more around like addressing trauma and going to therapy and loving ourselves, right? And like divesting from oppressive systems of power that have been abusive and like kicking against the patriarchy and protesting capitalism. Like this, and I think this stuff really matters. It's really important. Like we need to do those things. And so on this side of the aisle, if you will, right? And I'm not just talking politics because this is bigger than that. We're talking like worldview. We're talking ethics and morality. We're talking values and priorities and ideals. Things like visualization and goal setting and discipline and productivity don't seem to have the same weight or priority or value on the left side of American politics, which of course informs values, right? I understand most of why that's the way that it is. But I also think there is a detriment to the stigma that right-wing, conservative, capitalist, free enterprise, entrepreneurship, business people tend to hold. And the thing is, like, I guess something I need to say in this episode and what I'm trying to like acknowledge in the midst of what I want to process out loud here is the right-wing conservative side of American economics doesn't get to own productivity hacks and, you know, like personal development and self-help. Like, I know that's like become an industry, right? And there are a lot of strong values and ideas in there that are problematic and patriarchal and sexist and capitalist heavy. Right. So I do want to acknowledge like there's a lot of problems in it that need to be confronted and that should be changed. But there are also some other practices and hacks in there that I think matter regardless of where they're coming from or what they're upholding. They're effective. And I'm like, we shouldn't lose those things. And so I'm in this place in my process of reclaiming some stuff that I had to walk away from for a long time. And before I go any further on any of this, I want to just acknowledge. Let's take a moment and pit stop and just put a stake in the ground, like a flag, and just acknowledge. We are human beings. This stuff doesn't happen neatly or like orderly, right? It gets kind of a mess. But I also think we as people need permission to be binary, like quote unquote black and white, right? About things. We need to be able to be, dare I say, extreme about some of the stuff we're trying to reframe or re-understand or divest from or deconstruct, because without that clarity, we're not actually able to do the thorough, full work of holding old beliefs accountable, acknowledging the full impact and harm that they've had on us and people. Like, we need to get nice and clear. So I think the binary black and white thinking has to be there initially. I think it's just part of the maturation process. So like I had a coaching client the other day. I told him, I was like, hey, I want you to, just for a little bit of time, I don't know how long, you know, it's not gonna be forever, but I want you to start embracing a black and white binary thinking around yourself as a gay person, because right now with this whole like idea of trying to hold space for quote unquote both sides, to be open-minded, to, you know, like try and like sit in the middle somewhere, you're actually missing some major aspects of advocating for yourself, standing in solidarity with yourself, seeing and witnessing and embracing yourself, your own humanity, whilst you're maintaining space for other people's bigoted opinions and ideas. That's not helpful for anyone, especially not you. So I want you to like look at and embrace getting clear and black and white about some things first. You need to establish a full alignment with yourself, your validity as a person, what your dignity and your worth, what's valuable about you, right? Like what your worthiness actually feels like and looks like. You need to get nice and clear about that. The questions need to be removed from that part of who you are. Once we're there, then from a more established, secure place of clarity, we can start getting a little bit more nuanced, right? And looking at more complexity and, you know, getting more refined and having some finesse in handling more complicated, layered ideas. But we got to establish a foundation first, right? So I just want to say that for all of us here, regardless of whether you're gay or not, in the closet or not, coming out or not, like, if you're shifting beliefs, if you are like tackling ideas that you are now recognizing, these were harmful, this was not helpful, this is actually like erasing a whole people group, this is based on privilege, not truth. Like when you're like having to look at this stuff, which hopefully we are, and like I continue to discover things that I was taught that I currently still in the back of my mind think or believe that are problematic. Like I'm continuously learning. I hope that we're all doing that, not because we're trying to earn anything, but because there's just better work to be done, right? There's further for us to go. There's more accountability and responsibility that we can bring to the table. And so I hope that ongoing learning is a lifestyle that we just continue to embrace and not just give up because it's work. It is work, but it's good work and it's important. And it's the only way we're going to be able to actually make change, right? And progress and do better. So as I continue to take notes, become more aware of my own implicit biases and take responsibility for that and do the work and hold myself accountable, excuse me, the more it starts to like bleed out into these other aspects of my life that I wasn't thinking about, right? That like then demand that I make a change in how I handle them, how I approach and participate and contribute to lots of things like the economy and political discourse and social advocacy. So once upon a time, I was deeply closeted and neck deep in hustle culture, right? Like self-help, all that stuff. And through all those things, I ended up building a life for myself that I ended up which I ultimately walked away from. Like I pulled the last Jenga piece and let the whole thing come crashing down, and that's been really painful. So all that to say, this is all like backdrop so that we can get to where we are now. Being more progressive and liberal leaning now than I've ever been in my life. And I'm still like learning and taking notes. So I'm not even here to like identify as a certain political party or whatever. Although I will acknowledge I do very much intensely lean more left now than ever in a lot of ways, because the more I pay attention and look at the talking points and the motivation and the reasons behind these stances, especially in American politics, the more I'm like, man, one side wants to care for the individual, the downtrodden, the marginalized, the people who have been disenfranchised and overlooked and bullied, right? And the other side wants to protect and uphold the benefits and the privileges of rich white men, basically, right? And Christians. And that sucks. And especially because the Christians claim to follow Jesus. And yeah, so we're not gonna, that's a whole rabbit trail that that's not this episode. So anyway, in all of that, I'm like, cool, lots of stuff to be done. I've changed so much about my beliefs, my theology, my politics, right? Now, in this place of my journey, about 3 years into the deconstruction process, which has drastically changed those things in my life, there are a couple things I want to revive, like celebrate and embrace and like get a little bit more vigilant with because of how beneficial they were. And here's a human, vulnerable, more honest motivator behind all this. My mental health has suffered the most how do I say this? Because that's not entirely true. My mental health suffered intensely a few times when I was in the closet. I had like, I don't know, a few dark periods of my life where I went to a dark place. One time it was so dark I didn't want to be alive anymore, right? That was when I was in middle school, early high school. But then a few times since then, I've had a week or two where, that's a little longer. I went to a dark place again. My sexuality was always a part of why it was so dark and painful and scary. I've hit a few dark patches. So my point in saying all that is like, I've had some really dark seasons of mental health, like decline. But it had been a while since by the time I was coming out, like it had been a while since something like that had happened. And then on the other side of coming out publicly and deconstructing, I, for the first time in a long time, remembered, oh, this is what my mental health declining feels like, right? Or looks like. Because you don't always recognize right away that your mental health is declining. You usually notice it because of other things, like symptoms of your lifestyle, your pattern, right? The rhythms and routines of your internal and then external world. You just notice like, hey, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm doing this more. Or these kinds of thoughts seem to be showing up more regularly or consistently. You know, I don't have these thoughts or feelings anymore. They're missing. Like that stuff is typically how I'm able to tell like my mental health is not doing well. And so on the other side of coming out, I had a lot of intense social media interaction with a bunch of really nasty commenters and bigoted, homophobic, ignorant comments that were dehumanizing and antagonistic and aggressive and belligerent. And it was exhausting to like just constantly be fielding all of that, to the point where I didn't notice until I was too far into it, like my mental health was declining pretty quickly and I was just not in a good place. So I had to start making some very intense adjustments to my rhythm. I started going on walks every day in the sun outside, right? I got a therapist. I was talking to friends. I started writing more. I just had to force myself to do things consciously and intentionally that I didn't have to think about before or didn't really need, quote unquote, to do before. And so anyway, throughout all this, something that has come up, God, this is so much context, but I think it matters. all this is to say, like, I'm still in a place where my mental health is not awesome. It's not poor. It's just not what it used to be. Like, I remember when I was kicking it, when I was crushing it in my quote-unquote job, right? Being self-employed, being a business owner. Like, money was great. Success, career goals were popping. I was hitting them, right? But outside of all that, I felt awesome. This is all with the whole being deeply closeted and hating myself because of my sexuality, like, notwithstanding. That was such a, like, background, like, dull, permanent presence that I didn't even, like, notice it after a while, right? It would just like rear its ugly head in these pointed, dramatic, short bursts of time where things got really ugly and weird. But for the most part, like I was living, quote unquote, my dream as far as I was able to know back then. Here's my point. Some of that stuff wasn't because I was delusional. Some of it was because my mental headspace was experiencing positive things because some of those practices were positive for a human being to be doing. I used to do affirmations. I would say things out loud to myself, about the world, whatever. And saying stuff out loud has a positive impact on our brains. Like that's important. And I don't do it anymore. Like, right. Like prayer was another part of how that would happen. I don't do that a ton anymore. Talking to God and like processing things out, like as if I was talking to a person, I did that all the time. I don't do it as much anymore. And like that decline, I think has actually been had an impact on the decline of my mental health. Visualization, literally like picturing things that you were like building toward, you were bringing into your life, quote unquote manifesting, right? Like that used to be a priority and I used to do it regularly. I don't do that as much anymore. Like I don't do that hardly. I don't do it as much now, right? And I think that's having a negative effect. Goal setting, like I still do it, but not to the degree that I used to, not as loudly, not as dramatically, not as aggressively, because so much of my beliefs around economics and money and labor and, you know, justice in those areas and equity, like has just so poked a hole in things I didn't have to question before. And so that's really slowed my role and like drastically impacted my bank account, right? Like, I've financially had the most trouble in the last couple of years than I have that I've had in a long time. And I'm not saying that for like a pity vote. It's just part of the deal, you know, that's just come with the territory. And you know, that's like a very real like challenge. I don't know what the solution is to that, right? Because some of this stuff is problematic because like the way we make money is problematic. And I'm not saying don't make money, but like the systems that are in place that, you know, reward or punish how revenue is generated and how wages are earned, like there's so much wrong with these systems, right? So that's just an underpinning that we can't just walk away from or ignore. And so we have to make some very shrewd, intentional decisions, like regarding our conscience and our labor and our finances, you know, like our income. Like that's a very real challenge that like I'm not fully sorted on yet. So leaving the money piece alone, though, I do want to acknowledge vision for your future, being committed and clear and aligned with goals of things you're going to accomplish, you're going to acquire, you're going to achieve, right? Like that is important. Like we as human beings need things to look forward to. We need things to like work toward. We need things to motivate us to like limit ourselves, to exercise restraint, right? To delayed gratification. Like we need to be able to invest in those things. And I'm not just talking about, and there's a difference between delayed gratification / investing in something, right? Like limiting yourself in order to like build or acquire something meaningful. There's a difference between that and like throwing your money away because you're overwhelmed and you just want to break from being responsible, right? Like I know some people who just like splurge as a lifestyle, you know, on like booze or clubs or like trips or, you know, like substance or like there's all kinds of stuff that we can easily just escape our life with and call it like self-care. And I don't think that's accurate. And I'm not talking about that. I think there's actually like a beautiful reward in restraining our spending, our lifestyle choices, like holding back on the amount of joy we allow ourselves, quote unquote, to have in the present because we are investing in a greater joy down the road in terms of, you know, our financial security, our physical and mental well-being and our health, our community, our relationships. Like there are all kinds of things that we actually fail to build and establish a legitimate foundation to like be sustainable for years to come because of this value of living in the moment, right? And you only have now, and how you feel matters. How you feel matters, right? That's true. But it shouldn't matter more than the things you've identified for yourself as being meaningful and worthwhile and like longer term beneficial for your life, for your legacy, for fill in the blank of the ways that this stuff impacts our lives. So I think what I've noticed, and this is not supposed to be a blanket statement across the board, but in my unique, specific, subjective perspective and experience, what I've noticed is right-wing conservative groups tend to have more of a value for delayed gratification and legacy building, right? Like big picture, longer term, establishing a base and a foundation, they seem to have more of a value and a priority for that than I've seen on the left. Something I've noticed on the left side of all this, the progressive liberal spaces tend to be more centered around how do you feel right now? What do you want right now? What do you quote unquote need right now to feel better? And then we're going to let money serve that feeling, that end. And we can't think about 5 years down the road because we're just trying to stay afloat today. But the reason I'm trying to stay afloat is because the systems I'm in are corrupt. And so like this narrative gets built and it's actually like self-defeating. And I don't disagree with the premise, but I do disagree with how some of these practices get laid out and what kind of momentum they end up establishing, what kind of rhythms they've created that I've been susceptible to in the last couple of years. And I'm like, ooh, this is not good. But I'm also wary of saying out loud, right, to the public, some of these things, because I don't want it to be misconstrued as like, oh, I'm, you know, pulling from right-wing conservative, you know, capitalist values to like hack this. It's sticky, right? It's messy and complicated, and you can say the wrong thing in the wrong way, and people are going to hear something completely different than what you're trying to say. And so I'm still over here trying to figure out how to talk about this. But what I do want to acknowledge on this episode is I learned some things from my conservative right-wing upbringing that were beneficial, that are not inherently conservative / right-wing in terms of politics, like the ethos of conservatism, right? they're in wealth production, personal development, legacy building, right? And so much of that is influenced by capitalist, white supremacist patriarchy. So I'm like, ew, yeah, that's awful. That needs to change. We don't want to like bow to those things. We don't want to keep perpetuating them. We must divest. We must protest. Whatever. That's, yes, I agree. And I've like done what I think I know how to do with some of that for a couple years. And some of it's been good and some of it's been not great, especially for me. and so all that's, God, this is a lot. All that to say, I'm going to be spending some energy and time, especially in the new year, 2024, purposefully reclaiming some stuff from my past that I don't want to throw away just because I'm not a right-wing conservative Republican wacko anymore. I wasn't, it's like hard to think about like old me because I wasn't quote-unquote Republican out loud, but I was, you know, I did vote Republican. Like I did for a long time as a gay person because I was evangelical, you know? And that's a whole, again, a whole other rabbit trail we're not going to go down right now. So anyway, one of the steps I'm going to be taking as a practical, like, reach back into, some of the stuff was really important and, like, really positive and good for my mental health. I want to pick it up again. I need it. I think people on the left need this stuff. One of them is goal setting. So I don't know if you've heard me say this, but on January 1st of 2024, and probably hopefully every January 1st for the rest of my life, I'm hosting a goal setting workshop. It's a simple hour to hour and a half workshop that I'll do, a webinar I'll do online, basically walking the group through a process of identifying some significant things they want to see happen the next year, right? And then figuring out which of those is the most important and what are some practical things that need to get put in place in order to realistically, seriously, genuinely, actually making that happen. And so it's a really cool time to just focus and prioritize your dreams. Can I say that? Prioritize like your goals, things you actually want to see happen, things that matter to you, things that you care about, things you're connected to, things that motivate you, right? Just putting that in place. And so I just want to make a take a moment to acknowledge and kind of shout out. I'm doing this goal setting workshop. So below the show notes of this episode is a link to my goal setting workshop. It's $10 to participate. It's an hour, hour and a half of your time. It's going to be Monday morning, January 1st, 10 a.m. Central Standard, so Nashville time. I want to invite you to join me. Come be part of the goal setting workshop. I'm going to be addressing some of these dynamics in that and then absolutely going hard on goals matter. You need to have this nice and clear for yourself. What do you want? I don't care what it is. It doesn't have to be financial. It doesn't have to be physical. It can be whatever you want, but just stuff that you care about, that you want to see happen in your life, that's going to take work and commitment and consistency. And if like you're willing to invest the time to just like step, take that first step, we will put some things in place that will set you up for success and help encourage you to go further down that road. That really matters. It's really good for you. It's good for your mental health to have things to look forward to and things that you're committed to and reasons why you change the way you decide your daily like spending habits, time habits, attention habits, relationship habits. You know, it will inform those things, and choosing to align with stuff that you've identified is going to be good for you big picture, in the big picture, is so healthy. I don't know if I can like stress that enough. So join me for the goal setting workshop. I just want to make sure you all know about that. This stuff matters. All right. And now I want to conclude. I'm about to land this plane. This is me. This has literally been me talking for almost half an hour. My throat is on fire. Thanks. If you've made it this far, thanks. I appreciate your patience and like being with me on this journey. Last year, I mentioned like my mental health has suffered since coming out and deconstructing. Like there's been some really painful parts of this. And so I noticed at the beginning of last year, I was like, I need to do something different. I can't go through this next year the way I did the last year. I got to be there needs to be some intentionality. So I prioritized play and like creativity and storytelling, right? So I've been doing a lot of writing this year. I've written over 100,000 words in a novel that I've been working on, and I'm so thankful for it. And it's a project that I will continue to be working on. I don't know when it'll be finished. I don't care, actually. Like, I'm not trying to hit a deadline here. I'm just treating this project like something fun that I do. It's a hobby, something that I care about, something I've invested a lot of time and energy into. There's that. So writing has been a huge priority for me. Fiction writing mostly this year, but I also have picked up some old pieces of writing I did, right? Of like telling my story of falling in love for the first time. I'm going to be putting a memoir together. I hope that eventually at some point in my writing journey, I actually do end up publishing a quality memoir of this stuff that I've experienced and witnessed. I'm going through a lot of processing, planning, strategizing, forecasting for writing out this story. And it's going to start with my heartstopper journey, if you will, right, of like falling in love. It's going to start with me like getting, quote unquote, getting saved at four, right, and then being indoctrinated into evangelicalism and being gay in the midst of all that, and then falling in love for the first time and being sexually active for the first time, and being, you know, all the journeys, conflicting feelings of like euphoria and romance, as well as deep shame and fear and self-hatred, you know, going through that process. And then, you know, it's going to go into radical, spiritual, mystical experiences I had with God that drastically changed my life, that led me on a pilgrimage to landing at Bethel Church in Redding, California, that put me in like the mecca of charismatic Christianity. There have been a lot of experiences to this day that I am not throwing away. I don't talk about them the same like I used to, but they don't just disappear. So I'm going to be telling these stories, and then also all the while, still closeted, rising through the ranks, right? Getting kicked out of ministry school, getting hired at this place, becoming a who's who, having a platform, speaking all over the world, right? This whole journey, then coming out, like it's gonna be this whole dramatic mess of a story in a good way. I'm telling that story. And so another plug I wanna give you before I land this plane is a byproduct of my goal setting from 2023, this past year. I'm going into 2024 with this new goal. I am going to be releasing in episode form segments of my memoir, right? Section by section. And I would like to invite people in my Substack subscription to come on this journey with me, to chime in. I want feedback. I love this. I hated this. I don't care about this. This is interesting to me. This doesn't feel relevant. Hey, you missed a comma here. Like, I want to have a group of people come on this journey with me, consume it, enjoy it. I want the feedback. Seriously, I want the feedback. But then also just like kind of develop a community of people who are pulling from these stories and experiences, because this is not just about me. So many of us have been impacted by the things that I'm going to be focusing on in this storytelling. And I want us to go on a journey together. So I want you to know I am launching my Substack at the end of December. So at the recording of this in a couple weeks, it's going to be $6 a month. The point of this is to help just kind of fund getting this project off the ground and running. I've got a friend of mine who's helping me, and I would like to financially like kick back to him as well, us getting this project done and consistently. So if you would be willing to join me on this journey, I think it'll be fulfilling, it'll be meaningful, it'll be challenging, it'll be inspiring, it'll be sad, it'll be romantic and cute and sweet, it'll be gay as hell. And it'll matter a ton to me. So anyway, that link is also below. If you want to like sign up for the waiting list right now for my Substack, that is there. And then once we're launching it in a couple weeks, I will send you the link. But all that to say, like, this stuff is coming out of me holding on to, hey, discipline, consistency, goal setting, time management, this stuff matters. Oh God, it matters. And on the left side of American politics, I've noticed that's not a huge priority. And so stuff doesn't seem to get done as well, as efficiently, as orderly on this side of things. And I'm like, I don't want that to be my new normal. I'm not just accepting that as a cultural alignment piece. Like, I'm going to continue to embrace, you know, like being productive, not driving myself into the ground and dehumanizing myself for the sake of the almighty dollar. Not that, but disciplining myself, prioritizing myself, choosing past my feelings into like exercising my values, right? And like paying attention to my mental health and emotional health and looking after myself while I also maintain a commitment to the things I've identified matter to me, are important, right? And that's a whole journey. So I would love for you to come on that journey with me. The goal setting workshop and the Substack memoir journey with me, both are in the show notes below this episode. Sign up, join me, register, subscribe, whatever. Like, come on this journey. Let's evolve, let's transform, let's become more beautiful together. Okay, I've said a lot. Thanks for listening, you guys. I really appreciate you being here. Let me rephrase that. Not you guys, you all. I don't want to say y'all. I'm not that person, but I also want to degender acknowledging a whole group of people. So I know some people say friends. I don't want to say friends. I don't know. Thank you, all of you, for being here. I believe this is the second to last episode before I land season 3 of my podcast. So we look forward to the last episode, as the next one. I'll see you then. Bye. Listen, there's more where this came from. If you want to dive deeper, check out mikemayashiro.com.